Welcome to Fresh Research, a podcast from the Nonprofit Times, where we explore some of the latest findings focused on the world of charities. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Mark Arivna, senior editor at the Nonprofit Times. Each episode of Fresh Research will examine two recent studies. We'll talk to the authors about what they found and why it's important to nonprofits. We'll also give away some books and highlight access to other valuable information from the Nonprofit Times. 2017 was another record year for charitable giving. We'll get into specifics with Aggie Sweeney, chair of the Giving USA Foundation and senior counsel at Campbell & Company, along with Dr. Una Osili, associate dean for research and international programs at the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy. We'll talk about where charitable giving came from last year, where it went, and other trends that could impact your charity. Fewer than one in five CEO positions in the nonprofit sector are held by people of color. Studies have shown that hasn't changed much in recent years, despite a lot of talk about diversity. Frances Kuhnreuter will discuss some of the more intriguing aspects of Race to Lead, confronting the nonprofit racial leadership gap. She is co-director of the Building Movement Project, along with Sean Thomas Breitfeld. The duo published Race to Lead earlier this year, and you can download the full report at racetolead.org. How did charitable giving do in 2017? We have the first look with Aggie Sweeney, chair of the Giving USA Foundation and senior counsel at Campbell & Company, along with Dr. Una Osili, associate dean for research and international programs at the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy. Welcome to the program, ladies. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
So what's the big takeaway from the initial estimates for 2017 giving? Is it good news, bad news, a little mix?
Well, it's good news. Let me kick things off and then we'll turn things over to Una. The headline this year is that for the first time ever, giving broke $400 billion. And this in large part was due to a booming stock market and a strong economy, which affected giving by individuals, corporations, foundations, and also by through bequest. And last year's natural and human-made domestic disasters impacted giving.
Great. Well, that is good news. Did we have any idea how much the natural disasters we had hurricanes in Houston, Puerto Rico, and huge wildfires in Northern California, how much of an impact that had on giving?
One place where we do see the impact of the natural and man-made disasters of 2017 was in giving by corporations, where we saw an increase of $405 million from corporate gifts to disasters in 2017. And the combined growth rate for corporate giving, giving by corporations, was an 8% increase in current dollars.
How does that compare with some of the other sources of funding? You have an 8% increase in corporate. Usually individual giving is the big driver of charitable giving. The main thing that nonprofits want to know is individual giving was up?
Yes, absolutely. So 2017, we have lots of good news. Giving increased for all the donor types. Individuals grew by 5.2% or around 3% adjusted for inflation. Corporate giving was the big highlight of this year's report. We recorded a growth of 8% and about 5.7% adjusted for inflation, boosted by the disasters. But we also saw very significant growth in giving by foundations, a growth of 6% or 3.8% adjusted for inflation. And then finally, giving by bequests also recorded growth. So across the board, we saw growth for all the donor types, which is really very good news for nonprofits.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like amazing news. Everybody's up 5% or more. Is there any bad news for nonprofits or for donors?
There was one of the sectors that was actually down, and that was giving to international affairs. But the other sectors were up. And as you pointed out, seven of the nine sectors were up by 5% or more. So we really saw that the increase in giving was across the board. And as we would expect, giving by individuals being at the average overall for the increase.
And giving generally tracks the economy. So as the economy is doing well, it makes sense that giving is doing well. Did giving still track at around 2% of GDP? I know that's an issue for some who want to see that boost, and while others say it's a good thing that it's been able to track at 2% and stay consistent over the years.
Yeah, we were at 2.1%. And for five of the last 6 years, this is the level that we've been at as a percent of GDP.
And any idea how much tax reform impacted the giving numbers? I know at the end of the year, there was that small window and it seemed like a lot of nonprofits were expecting a big push either in donor advised funds or just charitable giving in general to get under that, to get ahead of the deadline of 2018 with the doubling of the standard deduction and other tax reform changes, like the estate tax going up probably is going to affect bequests. The short version of that question is, what kind of impact tax reform had? Can we quantify that at all on last year's giving?
Excellent question, and one that I think everyone is interested in. Keep in mind, the timing of tax reform meant that it took place relatively close to the end of the year. And so our research team has spent a lot of time trying to understand what the actual impact was. And so far, we think it's too early to actually assess that. First, because some donors did respond, but we also had a booming stock market towards the end of the year, a lot of either economic factors. So when we look at the overall year-end data, it seems quite strong, but it's difficult to disentangle how much of that was a strong economy and how much of that might have been tax reform. We are still looking closer into the data on donor advised funds to see if there was an end of the year bump, but some of that information is still becoming available. So it's really quite early. Looking ahead to 2018, we do expect donors to start to respond to the changes in the tax incentives available for charitable giving, but it will take some time to fully assess what the impact of tax reform is likely to be and how it affects different types of charities and different donor segments.
There are fewer donors that are happening to be giving more. I know a few years ago, the Giving USA, there was one of the themes in the Giving USA numbers that higher education was getting big major gifts and mega gifts were carrying the increases. Is that still the case? Are we still going in that trend where mega gifts are going to higher ed and more money pouring into donor advised funds and more money from fewer donors?
You know, I think that the trend of gifts getting larger continues. And yes, some of them are going into higher ed. We saw this year that the mega gifts were spread across many different sectors, but that trend towards gifts being larger, but maybe not as many gifts or as many donors, is still a trend that we're seeing. It seems to have perhaps leveled out rather than the participation rates decreasing, but it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next year or two.
Let me just jump in. Through our various studies, but especially the school's philanthropy panel study, Mark, I think you're familiar with the Generosity for Life project. We've been able to track trends in Americans giving over time. And in 2000, that was more than two-thirds of Americans gave. And now it's dipped below 60%. So less than 6 out of 10 Americans are giving in any given year. So this decline in the participation rates in charitable giving, I think, is of concern and certainly something we're watching very closely. But in that same time period, we haven't seen, say, the average gift size decline. So we're seeing a dip in participation, but among donors, donations holding steady. So this is the phenomena that I think a lot of fundraisers call donors down, but dollars holding steady or slightly up, and has also tracked very nicely with our Giving USA data, where we've seen record growth rates across many subsectors. In particular, in 2017, Giving to Foundations was one of the highest growth rates at 15.5%. And that was partly explained by a lot of large gifts to family foundations. So in particular, in 2017, we do see that trend continue where large gifts are in fact on the rise, and particular subsectors have benefited from that growth.
Does the year 2017 look similar to any previous years historically?
For us, what we've looked at is when have we had other years that have broken kind of barriers or records? And here we looked back to some very specific years that were growth periods in terms of the overall economy. And in particular, we have in 1999, Giving broke a barrier, reaching $200 billion for the first time. And in 2007, where the stock market was also performing quite well prior to the Great Recession, we saw Giving break another barrier at $300 billion. So when we look back, there's some years that really stand out where particular milestones were attained. And here it does look like we are at the point where we're starting to break another milestone. But I do think that it's important to keep in mind the broad-based nature of this year's growth rates.
That's interesting. So it took almost 20 years to double from 200 to 400, if I heard you right. Any idea how long it took to go from 100 to 200?
Yeah, so that was 1991, 100 billion, and 1999, so about 10 years.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so we've been looking at that curve as well. And I think the biggest factor explaining the acceleration when it's taken place in the 1990s and more recently in the past 4 years or so is the record growth in financial markets and the overall economy.
So if the patterns hold, it probably won't be till 2050 or later that we'll hit 1 trillion, right?
That's what we're going to be projecting next.
All right, hopefully we'll all be around. Aggie Sweeney, Chair of the Giving USA Foundation and Senior Counsel at Campbell & Company, along with Dr. Una Osili, Associate Dean for Research and International Programs at the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy. Thanks so much for your time, ladies. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you like what you're listening to, share it with your friends and colleagues. If you share our link on social media, you'll be eligible to win a book from the NPT Library. Remember to use the hashtag #FreshResearch. Our winner from last month's episode is Lauren Hayward. She is social media manager for Pittsburgh-based Give Consulting. Congratulations and thanks for sharing. Have you visited our website recently? TheNonprofitTimes.com is much more than just the latest news in the nonprofit sector. You can find valuable information throughout the year, like the annual salary and benefits report, webinars, subscriptions, special reports, and more to help you run your organization more effectively. That's TheNonprofitTimes.com. On this episode, we have Frances Kunreiter, co-director of the Building Movement Project, along with Sean Thomas Breitfeld. They're the authors of Race to Lead. Welcome to the program, Frances. I appreciate your time.
I'm happy to be here.
In your survey, only 9% disagreed with the statement that one of the big problems is that nonprofit leadership doesn't represent racial and ethnic diversity in the U.S. What does your study say in terms of what the sector as a whole can do to improve on that?
We did about 36 interviews before we constructed the survey just to see what people thought, you know, with thought leaders, people who did race equity training, actually executive recruiters, board members, executive directors, because we wanted to get a sense, what do you think the issues are? And then we tested those issues. And what we found really stunned us, or at least it stunned me. I don't think it would have stunned everybody in the sector, especially people of color. We found that there was really no difference between people of color and white respondents in terms of their education level, their training. Actually, people of color aspired more to be leaders than the white respondents, because some people had said to us, oh, well, people of color don't want to lead nonprofits. But what we did find is that people of color had more challenges in certain areas, especially in terms of their ability to raise money and their social capital networks, and also in their being asked to represent the community as part of their job. We also found that a third of people of color said that their race had negatively impacted their career advancement. And then all people, white and people of color, though more people of color, really listed several structural barriers that they felt people of color faced if they wanted to go into leadership in the nonprofit sector, that white boards didn't support leaders of color, that recruiters for executive positions did not hire people of color, and the sector overall weeded out people of color because they weren't the right fit in the organization. And actually that particular question is based on the idea of implicit bias, that people kind of rule out candidates, not because they're consciously biased, but they kind of, it doesn't feel like the right person for this organization. And so that people are weeded out in that way. So here we were investing in training and training and training and training people of color to be leaders and wondering why there weren't more leaders of color. But the problem isn't that people aren't prepared. The people of color are prepared to be leaders and they want to be leaders. The problem is that they're not being hired to be leaders. So our emphasis needs to switch from who we hire to who's ready and able to do the work.
One of the interesting parts of the survey to me was on the question of the challenges and frustrations faced on the job. Demanding workload was pretty much even between people of color and white. It was those other categories you mentioned, a lack of social capital or networks, lack of role models, and then being called on to represent your community. Those three were the biggest disparities, but demanding workload is neck and neck.
Everybody has too much work in the nonprofit sector. That's no new news. I want to say something about this idea of representing the community. We actually asked that question because we had done an earlier interview study, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, where our colleague Helen Kim had interviewed leaders of social change organizations. And many of those were people of color, but the majority were people of color. And what they started to say is, look, we don't have access to funders and social capital networks in the same way that white leaders do. So when we're asked to be on boards or speak to funders or be on panels, we want to do that because we need that entree. And we know sometimes we're tokenized, but we need to do that because that's important for us. At the same time, we also need to go out and represent ourselves in communities because they need to see that people of color can lead organizations. So we have a second job. We're not paid for that second job, but we have a second job of serving in all these different ways that's not compensated for. So we're really exhausted from both trying to run our organizations internally and then to kind of spread ourselves as wide as we can to represent our community to the nonprofit sector at large.
Were there any interesting points either by geography or subsector where it was a bigger issue than other areas?
Yeah, that's a great question. We did a report recently, and also all these reports can be found on www.racetolead.org. So we've released several reports based on the data, and we will be releasing a couple more this year, one on CEOs and one on race and gender. But we recently did a report on the California subset respondents, which was quite a large subset, over 800 people. And we were interested that the general trends were the same. In other words, everything you found that we're talking about in the overall report were the same. But if you looked at the indicators on supports and challenges, people of color in California reported more supports and fewer challenges than all the other states combined. And we have a couple of theories about that. One, it's a majority people of color state, and that might make a big difference. The other thing is about 10 years ago, based on kind of a push from the Greenlighting Institute, a philanthropist there agreed to invest $38 million over 10 years into people of color-led organizations and to strengthen those groups. So what we say is that to change the sector, we need both a push and a pathway. That it's hard for people to change without that push, and then they need a pathway to be able to change, and we think both is important.
That's one of the other dichotomies. I think you mentioned it earlier. It's funny that you hear about diversity a lot and training, and there's always something related to diversity in nonprofits, yet they're not necessarily put in practice at nonprofits.
That's a great point. I mean, I've been in this field longer than I want to say, and we've been talking about race and leadership. I ran a nonprofit 25 years ago, and we were talking about race and leadership. So the fact that it's not changing is of concern to us. So, you know, I think one of the hard parts about change is that change is change. Change is not just talking. And I think we've gotten very good about talking, but I think it's harder for us to really change. And that's why we talk about kind of needing a push sometimes to change. And I think it's not that people are ill-intentioned. It's just that we're used to doing what we do. The other thing that we found in the survey, and we hear a lot anecdotally, is that it's still hard for people of color to raise money, both from at least from private philanthropy and from individual donors. And again, we think that that is related to race. We are thinking a lot about what the issues are, but we would hear stories from people of color leaders that say, it's a joke, like my white colleague who runs exactly the same type of organization will go in and get all this money, and I'll walk in and they'll give me a quarter of the money. That there's not the trust, belief, investment, and maybe it's because people don't come, this is a social capital issue, that they don't come out of the same networks. We know networks of trust are very important, and so we need to take some risks here in order to make some serious changes.
Frances Conroyter, co-director of the Building Movement Project, along with Sean Thomas Breitfeld, they are the authors of Race to Lead. Thanks for joining us today. That's another episode in the books. Thanks for listening, and special thanks to our guests for taking the time to join us. Don't forget, share the Fresh Research link on Twitter or Facebook to be eligible to win a book from the NPT Library. Use the hashtag Fresh Research or tweet us at Nonprofit Times. And if you like what you hear, please rate us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Arivna for the Nonprofit Times, and this has been Fresh Research, a podcast about some of the latest research in the philanthropic sector. Until next time, keep up with us at thenonprofittimes.com.